The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill. I'm delighted today to be able to speak to CEO Sandy Chahar of Sir Supreme, a leading UK brand owner, licensor, and distributor of FMCG products across key categories like vaping, sports nutrition, batteries, and lighting. So welcome, Sandy.
Welcome. I'm glad to be here, Paul. Thank you for having me.
Well, big congrats on this morning's better than expected year-end trading update and positive outlook, delivering adjusted EBITDA of £19.3 million for last year on sales up 14% to £150 million. But before we sort of dig into details of that, I don't suppose you could quickly remind investors of also about the ultimate sort of like, you know, what you're trying to build at Supreme, what the vision is and what the key USPs are.
Yeah, no, sure. I mean, Supreme, the people that don't know it, is a fast-moving consumer goods business. We're a brand owner. We're also a manufacturer. We're in five main product categories at the moment, being batteries, lighting, vaping, and sports nutrition. 70% of our profits come from products. We actually own the brand and own the manufacturing and the IP. So a big chunk of our profits come from our full control, full vertically integrated chain. So that's pretty much what we do. And our vision is to try and grow this business organically and through acquisitions year on year, consistently 10%. That would be our aim. And half of that come from acquisitions and the other half come from organic growth.
Brilliant. Okay, well, 10% per annum like-for-like growth sounds pretty good to look forward to. Now, what are the sort of synergies across the divisions? You obviously got your own brands and then third-party brands.
Yeah, so our own brands actually drive a lot of the margin, and some of the brands, the distributor brands like Duracell or Energizer, where we're a distributor, just actually get us in front of customers because they are very well-known brands. As we've got 2,800 customers, and what the main synergy is that out of these 2,800 customers, about 600 of them buy all our categories.
So, right.
So we cross-sell all our products, our vaping, our sports nutrition, our batteries, and lighting into about 500 of the 2,800 customers. Right. And that's one of our USPs. And another USP is that because we've got five different product categories, we don't have the overheads like five different companies. We share the overheads across all the divisions, which makes it really hard to compete with us on price. And that's how we are the budget end of the market. And we do very well on that side.
Yeah, well, let's just talk through that one, because obviously we're going through some tougher times and we have been in the UK. Have you seen that? Have you seen any sort of consumer behaviour changes for people trading down to sort of like, you know, the more value conscious types brands?
Absolutely. I mean, most of our products are ranging anything from £1 to £2. That's our selling price into our products. So we're selling something like 500,000 to a million products a day. And what we're finding is that some of the consumers are shopping now in some of the discounters, like some B&M or Home Bargains. And they are actually trading down some of the brands into either licensed brands, things that we own, or budgeter brands that are still high quality, but are better value for money in their opinion. And we have seen a little bit of that shift in that. I would say more in the last Q4 of last year because of the electricity and the crisis in terms of your inflation crisis that we had or have still.
Mm. Okay, yeah, I mean, certainly you've had a blockbuster second half, haven't you? I was actually just doing the split, and I think you did over 90 million of turnover in the second half, if my calculations are correct. So that was a fact. Admittedly, it's sort of seasonal, there's no doubt about it. But maybe we can now step through some of the trading. Let's start with the biggest division, the vaping business. How's that progressing, and what are you seeing at sort of the coalface?
Okay, so it's two areas. I mean, on the vaping, one is we've grown organically because the markets are growing and our customers are selling more because they're in the discount end. And we own a brand called 88 Vape, where we have over a million regular users, and that's growing all the time. The market's growing as well. So I guess the vaping side has grown organically, but also through acquisitions. We made two strategic acquisitions, One was Liberty Flights, and the other one is Cuts Ice, which we have actually gone on to sell six months after we bought it. Actually,
well done.
I'll come on to it later. But yeah so it's 75 million now our revenue on vaping. I mean, we only started about 6-7 years ago. It was zero. This is completely virtually organic 88 Vape from zero start. It shows how we can grow a brand from zero to 80 million turnover in many years just by our regular customers.
Yeah, I did see one of the stats in the UK that there's just over 3 million people sort of regular vapers, etc. That means you've got about 30% of the the market, haven't you?
I think there's more now. I think it's more like 4.5 million.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Yeah, it's grown in the recently, and it's growing all the time. I mean, I don't know if you know, but we're going to come on to the British government is talking about vape-free Britain in 2030. So, yeah, a smoking-free the country in 2030. So,
yeah, well, let's touch that now. We might as well with the vaping and stuff. Yeah, I mean, last week we had that sort of like, you know, the government initiative to give out 1 million free vaping starter kits to sort of like smokers, because, you know, it's a tragedy, a human loss of life. You've got 35,000 people who die of lung cancer each year. Vast majority, about 80% of them, are stroke, you know, direct smokers or passive smokers. So they want to obviously get, and it costs the countries like £9,000 per just treatment for cancer patients. So you take us through those health benefits and how, you know, how it does actually get people off the you know, quitting smoking.
Yeah, so vaping is known to be the best aid to quit smoking by a country mile. Patches and gums are nowhere near as efficient. Smoking, if you do what it meant to do, it will kill you. Something like 60% of people that smoke cigarettes die from smoking. So it's doing the job what it's meant to do. Vaping, when we went into vaping in 2016 or 15, late 15, we went in the purpose to remove smokers, at the time 10 million of them, and try to get them onto vaping. But we didn't think it's going to take off like it has done, and it's been incredible. And the government's got behind this. I mean, Public Health England still say it's 95% more safer than smoking. So it's government's really behind it, which really helps us. Recently, though, there's been a little bit of negative news around the disposable vape and children. I agree it's wrong and that children should not smoke, but they should not vape either. I think we were having a different 20 years ago. We were having a conversation about how many children and youth were uptaking cigarette smoking. Vaping is a lot less harmful, but however, we rather not have that. And this is something that the government and ourselves, we want to try and overcome this this hurdle. I'd like to add, though, 88 Vape is a brand. Our average age is 40 to 50. We are not at that sort of cool end of the market, I'm afraid.
Yeah, yeah. And I did actually notice as well, there was a study in 2021, which basically suggested that 99% of people who vaped were actually previous smokers. And that includes 11 to 15 year olds. So we're not talking of people vaping who haven't been smokers. So it is actually, it's doing exactly what the government wanted to do, to get people to try and quit.
Yes. No, yeah, exactly. And we welcome that, because there's been a lot of speculation about what the government recent, we have like how many prime ministers we've had, you know, what's the recent. Yeah. So it's quite positive that news last week.
Good. Excellent. Now, just moving to the other sort of like, you know, main own brand you have, which is the sports nutrition. Can you just take us through an update on that and how you see that division sort of progressing going forward? Because I know you had a bit of a problem with the sort of input cost inflation during the pandemic with whey powder, I think it was.
Yeah, last year, first half of last year was horrendous. I mean, we had so many headwinds last year with the freight prices were crazy. The exchange rate had dropped. All the raw material prices have gone up, electricity has gone up. It's literally all the headwinds you could ever think of, and yet we've delivered the results we've delivered.
Yeah.
However, things are changing. The prices of commodities have come down. Electricity, energy started to come down. Freight prices have come from £12,000 to £1,000. It's just a complete U-turn that's going on at the moment. The sports nutrition category only started a few years ago for us. I think it's like 2018, from a clean sheet again. And we started with buying a £100,000 business that went into administration. And that's how we kicked off. So it was a manufacturing plant we bought in Ireland. And then we subsequently bought a few brands at very low cost and grew the business from zero to, as you can see today, you know, it's over 17 million of revenue. It's grown substantially over the last 4 years. And it's with all our own brands or brands that we've bought, like Thymex, Battle Bites, or Protein Dynamics. There's been many brands that we've bought over the years that are really, really trading well for us.
Yeah, well, I think given the entrepreneurial spirit of the business, I wouldn't put you past of sort of like getting to another Gatorade or you Lucozade fairly soon, or perhaps a lot more healthier than that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're working on a drink at the moment, but you know, it's really, we're looking at the capex actually, and you think 70 million or of 80 million of our revenue comes from products we manufacture ourselves, and our capex we spent last year was less than £700,000.
Wow.
I mean, wow. Yeah, that's why we generate so much cash, because we really have got really good machines and engineers that once you bought the machine engineer, the maintenance costs are very low.
Yeah, yeah. But let's just touch on that sort of the cash generation. I mean, obviously, as you say, but you've brought your net debt now to sort of like, from my calculation, reverse engineering, about sort of 5 million at year end. And frankly, that's sort of like, you know, less than 0.3 of your EBITDA. So you're in a really strong position for both organic and acquisitive growth, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you add the cash in the bank, it's actually more than neutral. We've got about more than that in the bank, so it's probably neutral in terms of our bank debt borrowing.
Yeah, okay.
And at half year, it was at about 13 million. So it shows that we generated that much cash in the last 6 months. And I guess the reasons are the profitability of the business, but also the very low capex spend that we have. It all helps to generate the sort of cash levels that we have. And we've monitored our stocks so well, carefully. Yeah. I mean, we had a problem with the pandemic, again, with all the containers in the wrong place, but all sort of coming well now. It's all coming back into place.
Good. Excellent. Now, just finalise on the, we'll finish up on the batteries and the lighting. Because I understand you had some overstocking in some of your, I think, retailers or customers, didn't you, for your lighting. What's the status on that one?
Yeah, so last year, unfortunately, there was an overstocking by two or three of our main retailers. That has led to last year's numbers being, on the lighting division itself, a bit of a disaster. Mm. However, we are seeing that come back quite nicely and ticking up quite considerably this year, and then hopefully next year coming back somewhere below last year, but not quite there. But it's improving. It's getting better. It's something we didn't envision. Something that look, we're new to public markets. We're a lot more closer to our FOB customers than we have been now, and we've realized the sort of mistakes that we made. And so the answer to your question is, it's getting much better.
Okay, good. And then just in terms of the sort of the new sort of manufacturing distribution hub that is being put together in Trafford Park in Manchester, what's the status of that one? How are we progressing? What's the go live days?
We signed the keys in March, and we'll be in July. And we'll be ready to take on then more acquisitions and M&A. Oh, that's the beauty of generating so much cash and having 35, 40 million of spare finances that you're not using. You can pick up businesses. And there's a lot of businesses turning over between 5 and 15 million pounds that don't make any money, actually lose money. Yeah. And all we do is we buy the business and we bring it into our platform and we take away all the overheads. Mm. I think on our last strategy day, one of our chairmen actually said that, so Sandy, when you look at a business and you buy a business, you look at sales and you look at gross profit, you just discard everything below that. And why do you do that? I said, well, I don't need any of it because it's all in Supreme. We'll use Supremes. And he can get his head around it, but he's seen it with CutSize. He's seen it with other businesses that we've done it with. So he's a lot more confident it works.
Yeah, you seem to have a very good blueprint there for sort of like, you know, integrations and acquisitions. And when that new hub comes on, how much sort of like extra sort of like, you know, spare or you know, capacity do you have to be able to bring other brands in?
So we've been looking at that, and it really depends on what we buy and how much space it takes, how bulky it is. If it's high value, low space, we could be a £500-700 million business without any problem. If it is a high, bulky sort of product, then it's going to be obviously a lot less than that, but it's substantially more than we have now in terms of we're running 5 or 6 warehouses around Trafford Park, and it's really complicated and difficult.
Yeah, okay.
It will slick our operations.
Okay, and then presumably, if you did some M&A, would that be an in-house? It'd be a brand, the ownership you'd buy, bring it in, and would it also be in the UK, or would you look overseas as well?
Preferably UK to start off with, in the sense that it's easier, it's local, and we like a brand that fits in with Supreme and Supreme's customers. We like to be able to add value to the brand, i.e. have a lot more customers to sell it to, or we like to be add value in terms of actually the supply chain or the purchase chain. So it needs to make sense for the business, and we need to be able to reduce some of its overhead if it's too heavy. If it's a distressed business, and most of them are, we need to be able to make sure it can streamline into our business quite comfortably without disrupting the overall business.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. And then just in terms of sort of like, you know, one of the lifebloods of MCG businesses is the sort of new product development and brand recognition. And just talk through that old promotional sort of marketing strategy.
Yeah, so I didn't quite understand your question, Paul. Are you talking about brands that we own or buy?
Your brands, your own. So basically, your 88 Vape and your sports nutrition brands. How would you go about sort of like, you know, promoting them and marketing them, and, you know, as obviously P&G or Unilever or anybody like that would do for theirs?
Yeah. So each brand's got its budget, and each brand has got its product manager, and they've given a budget, and they will spend their budget based on however they feel right. And the marketing budget we have is about £700,000, which was last year. And basically the brand manager can decide whether they want to give some of that onto customers in terms of incentives, or whether they want to bring a brand ambassador in, which we are doing very shortly on Cymex.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. Look forward to that. What are these celebrities, are you?
Yeah. And he's I'm meeting him tomorrow, actually. So yeah, I think that we can spend it in many ways. Yeah, okay. I guess we leave it to the brand manager to decide on their division how they feel it's best spent.
Okay, great. Well, then finally, in terms of sort of like next year, but the guidance is obviously slightly better than current analyst expectations, which is another great performance because of that momentum in the business from the second half. Can you just take us through how you see the next sort of 12 months shape? Yeah. You've got your prelims, haven't you, in July as well?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. The headwinds that I talked about last year are now turning into more tailwinds, which actually makes it a lot easier. Yeah. We're finding obviously the trading down of consumers into lower budget products, and generally our products are just so sticky and sell so well. I just see that the continued growth of the business carrying on in the same way as it's doing at the moment. I can't see anything that would change that at this moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, you do seem to be in a real perfect position there with a rock solid balance sheet and like for like strong sort of like double digit organic growth. So really good. And I would highlight investors. I mean, I've put the numbers through my sort of modeling, and I've actually ticked up my valuation for Supreme from 169p to 175p per share, which actually chimes with previous sort of valuations from analysts of about 170 to 180. But those will need to be updated, and I would encourage investors to have a look at those particular notes. So anyway, big congrats there, Sandy, and really look forward in touching base again at the prelims in July.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for interviewing me. I really enjoyed it.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.